Hello. Welcome to the show. This is William Repellum's Punch Bowl. And it's Friday at April 7th, 2023. Please go to republicbroadcasting.org and smash the donate button and donate the fundage. Whatever you can afford, folks. $4,000, $400. $40, $20, $10, $5, $1, $1. $1 would be fantastic, you guys. Just go smash the donate button. I know it's tough right now. We really need you. We got to get a new mixing board for the station. We really need it. We've been patching and switching and jerry-rigging. Get things going. We have the Mixmaster Mike. He is really working hard. A brilliant genius of a guy who knows how to reroute wires into the most arcane places all over the mixing board. He sent us a picture the other day. It was fascinating, this contraption that he built back there. But it's very unsustainable. And we really, really need some help right now, folks. You can get a t-shirt if you donate $50, an RBN t-shirt. I did this, and I'm waiting for my shirt. I know it's coming soon. Thank you, Mike. Mike is so busy also with the shipping and everything back there. So we thank you, folks. We're just trying to keep the station going. Nobody's really getting paid here. So without further ado, I would like to just get into the content tonight. I'm going to get into one news story first, but I want to tell you first that I'm going to do a expose on two books here. One of them is Birth Trauma and the Dark Side of Modern Medicine by Janice Barcello, and I've been reading this book that she gave me, and it's, and the more I read it, the more fascinated I become with it, the more eye-opening it actually is. This is, you know, I thought I didn't have any more red pills to take. I thought I've seen it all and I'm getting bored and I just don't have anything else to learn. But what a terrible mind state that is to be in. Because that's absolutely not true. The more I read this book, the more I realize that I've overlooked these things that are just so unbelievably and completely obvious to me about the medical industrial complex. And having read, not read, but having listened to the audiobooks first, sort of a prerequisite to it for me has been to read Eustace Mullen's book, Murder by Injection. That book is an overview of allopathic medicine and how allopathic medicine dovetailed into tyrannizing naturopathic medicine, and how death and destruction has been wrought upon humanity with allopathic medicine. But everybody is brainwashed and they think allopathic medicine is the bee's knees. The bee's knees. And that's just not the case. People are dying because of vaccines. We don't need vaccines. We don't need any vaccines. We didn't need them thousands of years ago. We don't need them now. Our bodies are capable of taking care of us. We don't need these Jewish vaccines. And we don't need this Jewish medical system that is not meant to do anything except extort us, take every last bit of our health and our money, make us sick, and make us unhealthy, make us dependent, and worst of all, make us brainwashed and thinking we need it. So, yeah. So the first book I want to talk about, because this is a two-pronged system that we have. We have circumcision which is sexual genital mutilation, another satanic ritual performed against us. So as I keep reading, I realize more and more that circumcision is so evil. It's so unbelievably evil. You're cutting off a part of the body when the baby first comes out of the womb, usually within the first couple of days, quite often, maybe later, maybe not. I don't know. I don't remember when I went through it. I don't remember going through it. But I know that I did go through it. And I'm 96% of the time, that's the number they threw out here, there's no anesthesia. So the baby is taken away from the parents, put in another room with a psychopathic doctor that's been brainwashed by this completely psychopathic medical system, with a doctor that is supposed to do no harm. And they're cut in a very sensitive area, and they have a part of themselves removed, a part of ourselves removed, permanently. And we'll never, ever know what it means to have that part of ourselves and to experience love. I'm going to say love, not going to say sex, because it goes a lot deeper than that. Because it means a lot more than just the sexual connection. There's something, and that's exactly, I think, what the crux of the problem is that people get caught up in the sexual aspect of it when there's so much more to it. That I do believe the sexual connection does, and I don't mean to get graphic here, folks. I don't want to, you know, go too deep into the whole conversation about sex, but the connection between sex and love is sort of ruined. And I'm not saying that it's totally ruined, but I think it's, in part, it is. And whether, and as to the degree to what that is the jury's still out. And it's probably more in some cases, less in others. When you have a doctor cutting off a part of you in your infancy, you know, they're not going to do it the same way at every single person. It's not going to affect every single person the exact same way. So, obviously, you're not going to have a perfect statistic. So, the other thing I wanted to say was, that's what I want to bring up, was the hypersexualization of society at the same time that's taking place at the same time. So, what I read in this book was that we really started in the United States to begin circumcision in a mass scale at about in the year 1870. It's about the same year when there was a big thing that happened after the Civil War with it had to do with something political. Anyway, the other book that I've decided to represent this other hypersexualization of society is Libido Dominandi. And this is a book by E. Michael Jones. Libido Dominandi, and the subtitle is Sexual Liberation and Political Control. Now, we were taught that we were made free in the 60s by the sexual revolution. Well, when exactly the opposite took place. Because when you can get people to be ruled by their sexual impulses, that makes them easier to control. And the Jewish system of oppression that we live under now understands this very well. And they have hypersexualized us through propaganda, through pornography, through all kind, every single possible way they can stimulate our lizard brain at every possible turn and get us in that mindset. Now, if you couple that with the circumcision aspect and the lack, the result of the circumcision, the lack of ability to really bond with somebody, with a woman, the man to really bond with a woman in a way that we'll never understand. Now, this is tragic, and nobody wants to hear it, and nobody wants to face it, but we have to. We have to face it. We have to face the facts. We have to look at this, and then we have to deal with it and know it for what it is. Because actually, once we do that, something will change. Even within us specifically who've been through this terrible, horrible monstrosity, crime that spans just across multiple generations, all of humanity, especially the United States. Fortunately, some places don't do this, like Europe. I'm very jealous. I will admit. But there's a reason. And there is some light at the end of the tunnel. There's something good that can be derived from all this. So anyway, what I want to do is I just was so fascinated by what I was reading in this book. And I'm just going to start reading some different excerpts from it. Different things that I highlighted in here. So there's a chapter I came upon at page 83 called Circumcision, the Mark of the Beast. I never, ever thought of this. There are multiple things that represent the mark of the beast. It isn't just one thing. It isn't just the vaccine they're injecting into you. It isn't the Luciferase chip that they are trying to put into you, Bill Gates. It isn't one thing. It's many things. And the beast is implementing this mark of the beast in every possible way they can do it. So the more aware we can become of it, the better off we're going to be. So this is what this is all about. Okay, the quote here, it's a quote from a man named Mike Hockney. Circumcision, and I agree with this 100%, circumcision is a blatant insult to God, implying that he is a bungling designer and that he is imperfect, hence not God. It is a satanic suggestion. By insulting the work of God, it proves that it is indeed the work of the devil. Circumcision is how the devil gets his brand on his devil-worshipping followers. Well, I'll just go on. Of all the torturous procedures employed by the medical establishment today, infant circumcision is perhaps the most disturbing. Baby boys less than 48 hours old, are strapped to torture boards called circumstraints and genetically mutilated by doctors who have sworn an oath to do no harm. The Hippocratic Oath, folks. This procedure is done 96% of the time in the U.S. without anesthetic, and in some cases takes place immediately after birth, before the baby has had a chance to meet and bond with his mother or father. Wow. Some obstetricians have made every circumcision almost a fetish. And now this is where it really gets psychopathic. In one instance with which we are familiar, the operation was performed when the hips had been delivered and pending expulsion of the upper half of the body. Okay, I'm not quite following that, but doctors have recklessly sought to legitimize this violence against infants since at least the 1950s, to wit. I'm going to skip up to some places where I've highlighted here. There are several. Therefore, circumcision can readily be classified as ritual sexual abuse of infants. I probably skipped over the parts where they talked about the infant screaming to the point where you can't even scream anymore. And the doctors being completely listening to this like it doesn't even matter, like it's nothing. They actually think that that the baby doesn't feel pain. They believe this. This is what they're taught in medical school, that the baby at this age, as long as they need to do this early because the baby doesn't feel the pain yet. Well, what kind of nonsense is this? This is similar to like, oh, the baby's not out of the womb yet, so it's not a life. What some of these, you know, freakish, disgusting, satanic people try to espouse. The baby's not out of the womb yet, so it's not a life. It doesn't matter. You can kill the baby at partial birth abortion, or even, you know, post-birth, right? This is the thinking coming out of the medical establishment. Should be major alarm bells going off in everybody. And I'm sure that there are in everybody listening. So Keith or Kurth Barker, a survivor of satanic sexual ritual abuse, states that some of these abusers are aroused by the idea of surgical mutilation. Now, folks, I'm sorry to get graphic here, okay? If you don't want to hear this, just turn off the show. Don't listen. I understand. I won't be offended if you don't want to listen. If you do want to listen, you want to call in, call us up. The number is, and I always forget, 512-248-8252, 512-248-8252. Going to open up the phone lines in a bit here. Or 800-313-9443 if you're outside the United States. Okay? So, do welcome your calls. A circumfetishist is someone who has a sexual fixation for the circumcised penis and or derives sexual gratification from the act of circumcision itself. Often their sexual fantasy involves infants. I was just so disgusted. I can't fathom this. Who can? Who can even think of something like this? Who thinks of this? Well, it's these people that run the world. They're sick. Oh, the Gilgal Society, named after the Hebrew word Gilgal, meaning hill of foreskins, is a circumcision advocacy group that publishes circumcision propaganda, fetish stories of young boys being circumcised while others... I can't even continue to talk about what's written here. You should get the book. You should get the book. One of the reasons why circumcision is so common in this country stems from the sadism of the crypto pervert. All right. Not surprisingly, the trauma caused by this despicable procedure creates irreversible neurological damage and breaks the bonds of love between mother and son. All right. Let's see how much time we have. Okay, we got 1 minute. I'm going to get one paragraph. Somehow they understood that when it's done to a boy, it disconnects him from his mother, breaks that tender bond between them forever, and the baby boy is taken from his mother's arms and subjected to this torture. The only way the baby can interpret it is a betrayal by her. All right, when we get back from the break, I'll finish this paragraph. Be right back, folks.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Einstein once said, "Future medicine will be the medicine of frequencies." What did he know? Imagine you hear ocean waves caressing a beach, or a favorite song from the past, or the trickle of the babbling brook. All of these are sound frequencies that positively affect us. Terahertz is a soothing, healing frequency that has been proven to resonate at the same frequency as healthy cells. It penetrates the body and stimulates new, healthy cell growth. Want to diminish muscle aches, joint pains, and experience a greater sense of well-being? Tired of spending money on short-term remedies that never seem to work? Soothing, healing, relaxing terahertz frequency is now available, and as handy as flipping a switch. Terahertz technology is changing the course of what we were taught about how to maintain our health and well-being. To read more about this amazing breakthrough and to order your terahertz frequency wand, go to naturalearthmedicine.com. That's naturalearthmedicine.com.
Hello, I'm Dr. Leonard Horowitz. I was right 30 years ago in warning the world about threatening lab virus outbreaks, AIDS, and Ebola. I was right 20 years ago when FBI Director Robert Mueller made me a suspect in the anthrax mailings because I warned the Bureau before the CIA's biocrime and Cipro sales psyops happened. I was right about COVID-19 being an AIDS-laced mutagen plan to resurge this fall to excuse officials' profitable depopulation globalization agendas. And I was right about the only safeguards being antioxidants and holy spiritual sustenance. Vitamin C, D, zinc, chlorophyll, oxygen, and oxysilver especially transmits the frequency resonance to neutralize the expanded function bioweapon. Oxysilver is a double superconductor of the healing power of love. It is the first nutraceutical invented to amplify prayer power and the faithful, loving intention of your heart. Buy, try, and stockpile OxySilver through HealthyWorldStore.com.
Talking about some dark stuff. I hope you guys are hanging with it. It's real important to get through it here. Okay, I'm going to continue with this paragraph. We got Paul in California. I'm going to take you in a minute, Paul. I want to get through a few things first. Just bear with me. He will never again trust her or connect with her. He can be trained to show her some respect and behave appropriately, but that deepest wound in his heart never heals unless he knows about it and wants to make an enormous effort to forgive her. But that requires a very evolved soul. Most of the men simply don't know that they carry that deep pain with them, where it came from and why. They just act it out unconsciously by hurting their mothers, their lovers, themselves, and other people. Now, think about it. You don't even know where the pain comes from because it happened so early. Now we have a gift. Maybe we have been, and we have to face it, we have been tortured in this way. We've been not just tortured, but we've been mitigated. We've been reduced. The Jews have cut off part of our manhood. In this Jewish ritual of, it's really, you know, it's what do people they conquer, and we've been taught to believe that the doctor knows best. Yeah, the doctor's a psychopath. He doesn't know anything. The doctor's carrying out his orders from his indoctrination. And you know what? We got to deal with it. All right. It doesn't mean that we need to suffer from tremendous guilt, because we don't. We're victims of what's happened to us. That includes the mothers and the fathers that meant well and put the kids through this and didn't know what they were doing. But we can stop it from continuing. We can stop it from continuing. Let me jump up a few more things here I've highlighted. I got so much in here in the next like 20 pages. All right, good, good, good. Okay. Okay. Once you have watched the video, this is a video about, it's called Birth as We Know It, Circumcision. It's a circumcision on video. Once you have watched the video, it's called YouTube video, Birth as We Know It - Circumcision. Go ahead and look it up on the internet. Once you have watched the video and listened to the tortured screams of the defenseless newborn, I'm sure you will agree that what you have just witnessed is unmitigated evil. Circumcision is not being done because it has any benefit, but rather to disempower and attack the male children of this earth, while simultaneously disturbing the possibility of human love and bonding to flourish. Male circumcision alters the brain of the victim, not only by depriving that person of the full potentials in sex, but also of transforming the inherent potential within that person to experience love, contentment, or peace. Now, I'll bring this up. You know, Janice, the author of this book, and we've had disagreements about, you know, sex. People perceive her as being a little extreme on the, you know, sex. It should only be for, the perception is that sex should only be for procreation. I don't think that's what she means. And I'm going to talk to her next Saturday, actually. We're going to get into this. We're going to dive into it a little bit. I'm going to be on her show. She has a show at 1 p.m. on Saturdays. And we're going to hash out our differences on this, hopefully. But I think that we're just missing that component of love. So if you think that it's just about, you know, making, you know, the sex, don't have sex or no sex, not for me, definitely that's not what it's about. But it's about trying to find a way to, I guess, bridge in the missing components that, because of the circumcision, are missing. And that has to do with the love bonding that takes place, which I do believe takes place because of, well, I mean, it happens through the sexual connection. I don't know. I don't want to go too deep into all this, you know, sexual stuff, all right? But it's kind of hard not to. All right. Those receptors are in. All right, we're back on the. We'll be right back, folks. I'm going to take Paul's call, and I'm going to continue with reading these excerpts here. We'll be right back. There's nobody in the future. You to dance to, so slip your hand inside my glove.
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
In times like these, you can't depend on the government to keep you warm and fed, but you can depend on the Vermont Bun Baker to do just that. With a Vermont Bun Baker, you'll never be in a situation where you can't cook, bake, fry, boil water, or heat your home all at the same time. One of the most revolutionary cook stoves, wood stoves ever, the Vermont Bun Baker is available with or without soapstone veneer, a natural stone that retains heat and radiates it back into the room once the fire is out. A beautiful addition to your home, the Vermont Bun Baker has an efficiency rating well above 75% and qualifies for the wood stove tax credit. For more information, watch the Vermont Bun Baker on YouTube and live stream, or visit us at www.vermontwoodstove.com. You can also reach us by calling 1-866-SOAPSTONE. Don't ever be hungry or cold because the power's gone out. With a Vermont Bun Baker, all you have to worry about is what's for dinner.
Extendivite. A 7-herb combination of garlic, cayenne, hawthorn, bilberry, ginkgo biloba, valerian, and milk thistle. Extendivite is designed to strengthen the heart and arteries and help the body heal itself. Doctors are not able to explain the improvements they are seeing in their patients' health who are taking Extendivite. People who once needed more pills are now taking less and getting better. Due to the unexplainable improvements in their patients' health, more doctors are calling to order Extendivite for themselves. Help Extendivite make your doctor a believer. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee.
Hemppaste.com/RBN. Free shipping on orders over $50. See the banners for hemp paste at republicbroadcasting.org and visit hemppaste.com/RBN.
In case you don't know who the band is, that's DRI, the Dirty Rotten Imbeciles, skate punk band from the 80s. The best. They're the best skate punk band ever, I believe. And I think that album is the best skate punk album ever made. The next best one is 7 Seconds. The 7 Seconds album. Well, there's Walk Together, Rock Together, but there's another one. The Crew. That's right. It's called 7 Seconds, The Crew. Bring me back to the skate days. Okay, anyway, so getting back to my very different show than we had last night. We had a very entertaining show last night, Jeremy and I. Tonight is a much more serious show. I'm going to introduce no humor whatsoever in a very serious tone of voice, talking about some very serious things. And that's okay. You know, we're going to have different show dynamics. That's just how it goes. Hopefully, I keep you interested. So, I want to just stop and take some calls. So, we've got Paul in New Jersey. We've got Steve in Orlando. And we also have Janice Barcelo calling in. So, we're going to take everybody's call, and I'm going to look forward. We're going to take Paul first, then Janice, then Steve. So let's go ahead. Paul in New Jersey. Welcome, Paul. What's on your mind?
How you doing? About Janice, I met her, and I bought her book some years ago at the Freedom Palooza. in Pennsylvania.
Nah.
And I read her book, and it was a good book. I enjoyed it, and I hope she's listening to my call.
She is.
One point, yeah, I'd like to make one point about or another reason not to circumcise is because it turns out that the foreskin itself is excellent for skin grafts. So in a sense, and because it's there's no hair follicles on the skin, it can it can be put on the face or in areas like if you get badly damaged in a car accident or something with your face, it makes a very good skin graft, and you won't have hairs growing out of it. Like from your nose, or you know, around your eyes, or something. So it's the eye. So in a sense, it's a form of like a skin potential skin graft place, and because it's elastic, it can stretch out over a large distance too. So that's one of the I think a very good reason to want to keep foreskins on kids.
Yeah, it's probably one of the most sensitive areas of the body, from what I understand. Obviously, I don't know personally, but it's also probably I would imagine that they use it for skincare products too. You know that they used aborted fetal tissue for vaccines and all other kinds of sick things that I would never even fathom until these concepts were told to me. I learned about some of these different documentaries I've seen. So this skin, I'm sure, is like gold to this medical establishment. What they can do with it, how they can maybe possibly reproduce the cells, you know, I don't know. But yeah, thank you for bringing up that good point. Anything else?
Yeah, well, the plastic surgeons will, you know, if you come in and you have a scar and you have your foreskin, they'll ask for it, or you can tell them to use it. Yeah, I wanted to tell a joke before I go.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, I knew a woman who, she worked as an assistant to a doctor who performed circumcision, and she saved up, and she would take home the foreskins, and she stitched them into a wallet. And when you rub it, it turns into a suitcase.
Or a shrunken head.
Anyway, that's the classic joke I was told years ago. I didn't quite understand.
Wait, so the joke, I didn't quite get the punchline.
Well, the nurse, she would take the discarded foreskins home, and she sewed them and made a wallet out of it. But when you rub it, it turns into a suitcase. All right, very good.
I must be dense. I'm just not getting it. I must be dumb or something.
Well, you know how a penis would, when erect, the skin would stretch.
Okay, got it. I am dumb.
All right, sir. Have a good day.
I appreciate the call, Paul, in New Jersey. Thank you. I appreciate the info. All right, next up, we've got Janice Barcelo herself calling in, the author of the book. Janice, welcome to the show.
Hey, greetings. William, thanks for taking my call. Thanks for talking about the book, because the book is incredibly important. And you are right that the foreskins are being used in women's facial cream, like Oprah makes a cream with infant foreskins, and they are using foreskins in the development of vaccines. And for a variety of other satanic purposes, all of this is sorcery, you know, that we would be using something from the torture of an innocent infant to make ourselves more youthful is so sick and evil, and yet it has been mainstreamed into our satanic civilization, just like circumcision has been mainstreamed into American culture. And you're right that, you know, 80% of the world's men are intact. They have not been mutilated or tortured in infancy. Only American men, basically, and those born in Israel, are regularly subjected to this form of satanic ritual abuse. And this is why I think American men are have not stood up, have not been able to stand up to protect this country, at least not yet. It doesn't mean that they won't. It means that there's a conditioned helplessness that's been imprinted through this extreme torture in infancy. And it's a very sad state of affairs. And I just also wanted to comment about sex, because, you know, people think I'm extreme in thinking that sex really is for the creation of life. So what I want to say is that we've come to believe and have been told that sex will not just bring pleasure, but that somehow it brings bonding between men and women. In truth, what bonds two people together is the creation of children. And it happens through birth. There's a flood of neurochemicals that occur during the first hour after childbirth. For both the mother and father, ideally, who are present, that is such a huge experience of love that it can hold that family together forever, because they will always have a cellular memory of that extreme love that occurred at the birth of their child. That is what bonds people. The act of intercourse is only important in the sense that you are choosing to consciously unite energies to bring life here to this earth and to bring your love into eternity through the creation of life. This is what we're all seeking when we, quote-unquote, have sex, is we're seeking the experience that we know is possible. We have, you know, a cellular memory of this from before the Jews were created and started interfering with everything. We know what should happen between two people. We have memory of this. But we don't know how to get there anymore because they have confused us completely. So thank you for allowing me to share that.
I see what you're saying there, Janice. I understand better your point. Let me ask you a question, however. And because I think you just made some just fantastic points, you know, the creation of life, you know, the bonding that takes place between a man and a woman when life is created, that actually it holds the family together. I mean, we see so many broken families out there because there are, as we say, so many other ancillary sexual problems take place, such as the hypersexualization in our society.
And it's also because they're interfering with the birth. They're doing this deliberately because they know how important the birth is. Yeah.
Right. So your book goes into that dramatic. Really well. Yeah. Your book goes into that.
They're making birth so traumatic that love cannot be generated during the process of childbirth, that there is no possibility for bonding when you're taking infants away from their mothers and cutting into their penises. You know what I'm saying? And cutting off the most sensitive part of their penis. How is this baby going to ever trust his mother after she allows this to happen? How can this, you know, how can he feel safe ever when his parents have allowed this to happen? This is really, really deep, and you know, we need to get this and to stop it. And those who are circumcised, the men who've been circumcised, are the most important men to make this stop. You know, you say the buck stops with me. It's not going to happen to my kids. I'm not doing this to my sons. And you then make the change, you know?
Well, and you brought up the birth. Yeah, you brought up the birth aspect, too. And the lack of, you know, in the medical system, and the whole thing, you've described it really well in your book, but the whole experience of going to the hospital, laying on a bed, being put on put on drugs that make the woman not feel what's going on, and also giving epidurals to induction of the birth early. You have doctors that are trying to force these epidurals on mothers because they want to get it done and get it over with, without any realization of the consequence that this has on the child or the mother or the bond between the mother and child. The emasculation of the man by removing him from the situation so that when the baby's born, the man is not even present, when the man should actually possibly even be the one delivering the child. Imagine that.
100%.
We should picture that situation, right? Why can't we as men learn how to deliver our own children from elders from before, right? Before. Why do we not live in a society where that's what we do? No, because they want us, the Jews want us dependent on their medical system. They need to do everything there, and they need to be able to extort money out of us. It's so sick,
also,
so depraved.
They're also stepping in and usurping the male role. So you've got this doctor in a white coat that steps in to catch your baby, totally relegating the fathers to the periphery of this critical life experience. His child is being born, and they are presenting themselves as if they are the most important people in this process. Unbelievable.
Well, and they're emotionally detached from this child. It's just a job to them, and often it's a competition. I was reading in your book, actually, about the C-section competition. Which doctor could get the C-section done faster? And they were having a competition. Did I get that right? Was it a C-section or was it an epidural? I don't remember exactly.
They were performing surgery. It was a C-section, and to see who could do it faster or who could win the record of the fastest cesarean.
Just imagine that. You have some other man delivering your child as a competition in this Jewish system. And now you got, I'm thinking about this Jew that got up in front of Congress, not like that there's only one, but gets up in front of Congress and starts screeching about white supremacy and, anti-Semitism and we have to stop people from talking about what Jews are doing. Oh, poor the Holocaust and blah 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 blah. What about the Holocaust, man? You keep reading and you keep finding new Holocausts that the Jews have committed against humanity, and this is one of them: birth.
Yep.
The birth process.
Thank you so much for taking my call and for bringing up this incredibly important topic. I really appreciate you, and I appreciate what you're doing, William.
Well, I thank you too, Janice. Love your book. I'm going to keep reading it. I'm 2/5 done with it, and I appreciate your call. Thank you. Have a good night.
Take care.
Bye-bye. All right. We're going to jump to, we've got Steve in Orlando, then we got Vinny, then we got Junior in Georgia, and Paul in California. So let me see what we got. I got 11 minutes left. If it's okay, we can skip the break, Mike. I'm going to try to get through everybody here. So let me jump to Steve in Orlando. Steve, go ahead.
Okay. This whole circumcision travesty, it's just amazing how this ever came to be a common practice. I mean, if I was in the hospital and my son was being delivered, and a doctor or nurse would come along and say, oh, we need to take your infant son away to cut off part of the most sensitive part of their body, I'd be, they would have to physically restrain me because I would not let that happen. I mean, that's if I knew nothing about it. But I do know about it, and it's a completely pointless, barbaric, incredibly painful procedure. So how does no father prevent this from happening? I just, how did it ever become such a common
That's a great question, Steve. Well, how do we not have an instinctual understanding? Where did our instinct get cut off from us? When did that first happen? The circumcision problem started happening in 1870, according to the book that I've read here.
Well, I know that the wacko Dr. Kellogg was promoting it, I think, early in the 20th century as well.
Okay. Yeah, Dr. Kellogg, I'm not sure. I got to look that up.
Yeah, I mean, I think it was a it was supposed to prevent male children from masturbating. That was the excuse he used, which is
ridiculous. It does the opposite, actually.
It desensitizes the penis and all kinds of other things. It's ridiculous.
It's just an unnatural procedure that's completely unnecessary.
The whole COVID episode and pandemic also, I think it's related because, you know, why did so many people just go along with the lockdowns and the mask and all the ridiculous charade and the attacks on their rights? It just shows you, I'd say about 80% of the people just have no discernment, no common sense, no something. I mean, I don't think I'm not a genius. I might have midwit IQ of 120 or something, but I'm able to figure these things out. And I know the listeners to RBN, I certainly agree with these things, but yet the masses just, they're just so easily led. It's very blackpilling at times.
It is. It's a very fantastic point. I think we're getting to the crux of the matter with the circumcision thing. And Steve, really, thanks for the call. I got to jump. I got three more calls I got to get through. I appreciate your input. All right. We've got Vinny in Indiana. Vinny, welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hello, Willem. Yeah, a couple things related to the conversation tonight. First of all, the medical uses of foreskin. If you looked, I mentioned that website, the Circumcision Information Resource Pages, CIRP.org.
Yeah.
They have some fascinating articles on circumcision in South Korea. Circumcision was unheard of until the Korean War. And two Jewish doctors, you know, every single time from the army set up apparently the practice of circumcision in Korea, which is actually quite common. It's not necessarily done at infancy. Sometimes young men are convinced to have the circumcisions. But, of course, the foreskins are harvested. They do make a lot. They collect a elastic protein that's concentrated in the foreskin. And, yes, it is used in cosmetics. You had Kate Beckinsale and Sandra Bullock and Oprah Winfrey all swear by these facial products, very, very expensive, that are made from foreskins. The article on circumcision software is fascinating. You mentioned the phenomena of circumcision porn. Yes, it is real. There's a documentary called American Circumcision. There's a Jew by the name of Schoen. He was head of the American Association of Pediatrics, the American Academy of Pediatrics. He was a big advocate for the continued recommendation of circumcision as a medical procedure. But he was associated with guys who are, yes, they were collecting circumcision porn. So there are people who get off on watching little babies being mutilated.
Sick.
You know, incredible. So, and the one last thing I'll get off is, you need to emphasize that the circumcision that's performed in American hospitals today is not the First Temple Covenant circumcision that was done prior towards the Maccabean revolt, okay? What we have done now is the First Temple circumcision is called a Mila, and if you look at, you know, again, Michelangelo's David, far less tissue was removed. The type of circumcision that's done now, up until the Maccabean revolt, was only done, Jews did it to their slaves. So this is the, you know, it's a slave, it's a mark of a slave that's being done. And that, or it was only done to sex criminals to keep them out of the public baths. So, you know, it's totally different, totally more radical, more extreme surgery. And a lot of Christian Zionists, you know, they apologize. They become apologists for circumcisions, but they don't understand that. Thanks for taking my call.
Yes. All right. Awesome. Thank you for that information. Going to look into that a little bit more there, Vinny. All right. We got Junior in Georgia. Junior, welcome to the show. Can you make it quick? I've got two more. I got to get Paul and Mike in Kentucky and try to squeeze them in. There's 3 minutes here.
I will make it very quick.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
There was the Old Testament, and there's the New Testament. And when Christ was born and Christ was sacrificed, he changed all the rules that you've heard these people discuss tonight. Circumcision went out the window when Christ was born and sacrificed. There was nothing else in the Old Testament to be adhered to once Christ was sacrificed.
Nothing else in the New Testament.
Everything went out the window.
Yeah. All right. Yeah, thank you. JR, that's who you go by, right? Not Junior. I think you got that. Well, JR, thank you for that. Appreciate the call. We got Paul in California, then we got Mike in Kentucky. Paul, welcome to the show.
Yeah, just a quick shout out to Paul in New Jersey. I got your joke right away, Paul. It was a little funny.
I got your text too, Paul. Thank you. Yeah.
The somber tone of what we're looking at, what we're dealing with. Just imagine, you know, what they're doing to us. Okay, it's so far beyond mockery. All right, they are using these foreskins and so forth into cosmetics. They are using aborted fetal tissue in vaccines. That's been around a long time. So they're injecting us with our dead. Okay, with our basically our killed unborn. And they are also, you can be sure of this, using some of the bodies of these aborted and putting them in the meat in the slaughterhouses, ground beef. Okay, I have zero doubt about that. So that's for everybody to keep in the back of their mind about who our
thank
enemy
you, Paul.
Really is. Yeah.
Yeah. Paul, thank you for the call. I appreciate that information, and I think you're right. Everybody, thanks again. We're at the end of the show. Appreciate you guys tuning in tonight. Hope you guys got a lot out of it. Have a great weekend, and we'll see you next week on the Punch Bowl. William Rapillum. All right. Bye-bye.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back, to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.